that those who have taqwa, who are conscious of Allah, when shaitan tries to create waswas, to instigate, to try to incite a person towards the disobedience of Allah, then immediately they remember Allah, tadhakkaru. And by them remembering Allah, the vision becomes clear of shaitan's effort in trying to mislead them. So the moment he recited this ayat of Quran Kareem, he collapsed. Panic, he was taken, he was carried to the door of his father, knocked on the door and they left him there and went. And the father came out, seen him in that condition, picked him up, took him into the house. For a considerable period of time he was unconscious. Till some part of the night he regained consciousness. And when he regained consciousness, his father asked him, what had happened to you? And he narrated the whole incident of what has transpired. To that the father asked, what ayat did you recite? Or what ayat flashed through your mind? And again he repeated that ayat. When he repeated that ayat the second time in front of the father, he became unconscious, he collapsed again. But this time when they tried to revive him, he had passed away. He had passed away. So they got, the family got together, did all the normal rituals, burial rituals, etc. And they got him buried. The next morning, Umar radhiyallahu anhu was informed of this. That youngster, this happened, he passed away and he was buried. Umar radhiyallahu anhu was surprised. But Umar radhiyallahu anhu was very fond of him. Then Umar radhiyallahu anhu went to the house to offer condolence. And then told him, and he went to the qabr of this youngster. And then as a form of consolation, he told this youngster, while this youngster in this cupboard, he read the ayat, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. For that person who fears Allah, there are two jannats promised for such a person. Miraculously, Allah Ta'ala gave that youngster the ability to speak, and he replied to Umar Rabbanu and said, Umar, I have been blessed with those two jannats. I have been blessed with those two jannats. Our Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib Ahmad Barakatum says, stories are not there for entertainment. Stories are there to obtain lesson, to derive lesson from it. So let us look at the story and see what lessons we can derive from it. From the lessons we understand and we learned that we have four enemies. We have four enemies. And in the Urdu language, enemies means dushman. They say dushman. Dushman is enemy. So if you take the word dushman and you look at the word and you spell it out, you get dal, sheen, meem, noon, four letters. So Al-Ulama Ikram explained that the first dal, that's our enemy, is that of dunya. Is that of dunya. Now when we speak about dunya, many people have this misconception and the misunderstanding that when we refer to dunya, we are referring to the material things of this dunya. That is not the case. Dunya in its true sense means anything that takes us away from Allah. Anything that takes us away from the object of our purpose in life, that becomes the test and the dunya. So if a person, his car is a means of making him go towards good, that is not dunya. Ulama say that is a means of assisting him in doing good deeds. Like mashallah, people came here with their cars, that has been a blessing. Family, wealth can be a means of great khair and goodness. If that wealth is used in the right manner to gain Allah's mercy, is not dunya. The dunya is with the condition of the heart. If that distracts a person, if that takes a person away from Allah, it takes a person away from the right path, then that is the test of dunya. That's what we're referring to. That will become an obstacle and a blockage for us to reach our Allah. So, we should be very cautious and analyze and introspect. This is what this slide just says about.
that in my life, what are those things that are dunya?
To the extent, Bhai Abdul Wahab Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, once in Raiwin was giving a talk, and he mentioned that even if a person is in salah, but his heart and mind is away from Allah, he's in dunya. Outwardly he'll be in the action of ibadat, but he's not in ibadat. And on the contrary, a person can be in worldly activities, but his heart is connected to Allah, he's in deen, he's in ibadat. One very great sheikh, Allah blessed him with the power of kashf. And he observed one person was making tawaf, and he just focused on the heart of that person making tawaf right by the Baytullah, and he observed through kashf that his heart was devoid of the remembrance of Allah. Right at the Baytullah, doing, outwardly doing such a great ibadah. And then he went and he seen somebody involving himself in business transactions, buying, selling, etc. And he just put his focus a little bit on the heart, and he find that this person, while he's carrying on with his business transaction, his heart was continuously linked with Allah and focused and connected with Allah. So the first enemy is dunya. And dunya is, we have been placed in this dunya as a test. And all these distractions and these, so to say, things that will take us away from our test from Allah. If these things take us from away from Allah, then that is the dunya that we're talking about, and when the ulama talk about the, and they condemn dunya. So in this year, youngster's life, the test came through women. Women is also a big test. So it came in a big test for him. So this was the first enemy that we should always understand and realize. And ask ourselves, what is my enemy? What is the dunya that is holding me back from progressing in deen? If I'm obsessed with dunya, Allah has created this dunya as a means to cater to our needs, not our desire. A simple example the ulama give, that if I have a container that can take the capacity of 5 liters of water, and I try my best to try to fit 10 liters, making dua that Allah let 10 liters fit, it's not going to happen. The capacity of that container can only hold 5 liters. Everyone will admit and say, you are fool trying to force something beyond the capacity of that container. Not normal. So if Allah Ta'ala created this dunya to cater to our needs, it does not have the capacity to cater to our desires. So us trying to obtain that from the dunya, we're going to be frustrated, and we're going to be unhappy. The second enemy that we must understand, and that is the sheen, is shaitan. Shaitan, Allah Ta'ala mentioned, aduwwun mubin, an open enemy. And shaitan has taken a promise, that I will make all out effort to misguide, mislead, lead people astray. Lead people off the path of hidayat. And shaitan will always make that effort till the end. Will try, whenever a person makes a good intention, want to reform his life, want to change his life, then shaitan is always there to make that road seem very difficult. To make it seem very narrow. But when a person builds up courage, and a person takes that initiative to move forward, and then see how Allah opens the way. Like the example they give, if a person is driving, and in front of him he's seen a long road. As that road is going further, he's seeing that now the road is narrowing. Until the time he observes, he sees actually the road seem like it's meeting. And he thinks to himself, I think this road is meeting, it's going to block me, I won't be able to go through. But as a person starts carrying on moving, driving, it seems as if that road is just opening up. And you just carry on. So the road to Allah, shaitan makes it, he narrows that vision. And he makes a person feel that this road is very difficult. I'm not a person, that is for the buzrooks and for the pious saints. It's not for me. It's very difficult, that road. It's too difficult to go. And I'll get myself stuck. But as he moves in this path, how that person is moving with that car, and it seems as if that the road is just opening. He finds the road to Allah is just opening. Allah just need that initiation from outside, the first step from outside. The rest Allah does. And the beauty part of this road, it is such enjoyable, it's so enjoyable, that far exceeds the fake pleasures of the dunya in gunas. The dunya's pleasure, the fake gunas, the fake pleasure in the gunas of the dunya, it's far exceeds. So this is Shaitan's attempt. He will all till the end, he will make attempt to destroy us, to take away everything. And what? You see the beauty. Like that moment of weakness, Shaitan must have, that person, the youngster, follow that lady. In that moment we are all weak, we are human beings, physical insan, ta'ifa. Allah has created us weak. So with Shaitan's instigation, etc., that moment sometimes we can slip up. So the second, first is, try to remember it, first is dunya. Anything that takes us away from the remembrance of Allah, must stay away from it and watch it. Be careful of it. It's going to block our movement towards Allah. The second is the open enemy, which is Shaitan. And then the meme, in the door, dushman, the meme stands for mahol, environment. Many a times a person have good intentions, but the environment don't become conducive for that person to carry out that good intention. So in order to save us from this enemies, always stay in good environment. That youngster, he came in the company of Sahaba Ikram and Umar radhiyallahu anhu and taking benefit from that environment, from a good environment. And by virtue of that environment, obtaining the knowledge from those illustrious Sahabas, look how that came to rescue him at the time of need. They said, ulama say, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. If you remember Allah, Allah will remember you at the time of need. Don't underestimate the environment of deen and the places where we can obtain our knowledge from deen, or good environment when we are remembering Allah. And this comes to rescue us at the time of need. So the environment, to keep ourselves in a good environment, will inshallah help us at the time when we are exposed to guna, and we are at the time when we are like helpers, that's the time Allah comes and rescue us. The benefit of company, of good environment and good company. One murid of Maulana Ashraf Thani rahmatullah alayh, one day he came rushing into the khanqah, worried, full of anxiety, hearing, in panic. So Maulana Ashraf Thani, it was not unusual time, it wasn't normally the time of the majlis. So he came and he said, Hazrat, something terrible happened to me. So they said, what happened? He said, as I was walking, one lady, she came and approached me, and she tried to seduce me. So Hazrat asked him, then what happened? He said, then I got such a shock, I came straight and I ran to the khanqah for security. I came, ran right into the khanqah and he in front of you. So Malam Shaitani rahmatullahi tapped him on the back and said, shabazz. That's mashallah, a good thing. But look at the murid, when you stay in the company of the awliyas, Allah Ta'ala trains you to negate everything of yourself. You don't have no achievement of yourself. You don't regard yourself as anything. Like our brother said last night, we are the worst. When you reach that stage, when you firmly believe, I am the worst, I am nothing, that's the time is your first step to road of Islam. Then you're just taking the initial step to Islam. So he said, no, brother, he started crying. So he said, why are you crying? Allah give you tawfiq to stay away from it, and to run away from that opportunity of sin. Look at the people of the past. He said, Hazrat, I'm at fault. If I wasn't like that, she wouldn't have put her hopes on me. Because of my weakness, that is why she entertained her hopes upon me. So that's a reflection of my weakness. It's a reflection of my weakness. But why I mentioned this incident, is that look at the barakat of him attaching himself and attending the discourses of Mawlana Shaitani Rahmatullah Ali, that crucial time when there's an opportunity to carry out a guna, Allah comes to the rescue of that person and save that person. And give him the tawfiq to stay away. Give him the courage to stay away. Another incident of Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali one day mentioned, there was one youngster, in his weakness, one Friday night he went to go watch a movie, a fellow. But he used to attend the majlis of Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali. And any problem he had, he used to communicate with Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali. So after he came late at night on that Friday night, came home, his parents were sleeping. For no apparent reason, there was a great urge within himself to kill his parents. And he said, I actually went into the kitchen and took a knife and came with a firm resolution that today I'm going to kill my parents. And as he's planning this evil act of his, one of the discourses of Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, what's mentioned, which he used to attend, one of the, whatever Mawlana Yunus Patel's advice, flashed through his mind. And when this flashed through his mind, he just retracted and said, what am I doing? What am I planning to do? And he desisted from his action. But he was so perturbed of this, that what made him have this intention, that the next morning he went to Mawlana Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah and narrated the whole incident. And Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah said, sometimes the benefit of you attaining good environment and good discourses becomes the reason to you to be rescued from a very hideous crime later. That was the barakat of him being in the mahal of good and mahal and being in the company of Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, that Allah Ta'ala saved him from such a heinous crime. So mahal plays an excellent part. How many people we hear that when they go to Makkah Mukarrama and Madinah Munawwara, and they themselves say that at home, due to my weakness, I'm not regular Fajr Salah, many times I oversleep and it becomes qadha. But when I'm in Makkah Mukarrama and Madinah Munawwara, then well before tahajjud, from the tahajjud azan already I'm up. And I'm already walking to the haram. It's like so easy for me. I can't understand why I find it so difficult here when there tahajjud becomes easy. And then we realize it's because of the environment. Already that time you heard a beautiful azan and you people are moving towards the haram. And that makes it, the environment makes it conducive for a person to, and motivate him to move forward. So if we learn these are the things, that lessons we are learning, that these are our enemies and how to save ourselves from this enemy. So always save ourselves from bad environment and mahal. Because that can have a negative impact. That even in the individual capacity, a person makes a good intention. He wants to reform his life. He wants to change his life. But the environment becomes difficult for him to carry out those good intentions of his. And the fourth thing that we find is our enemy is the noon of dushman. And what is noon? Our nafs. The nafs is something, subhanallah, that we have to make so much effort on it. We have to train it. We have to train it. Because the nafs is something that by very nature it likes to rebel. It finds it difficult to be confined and to be restricted. So the more we give in to our nafs, and the more we are not wary about the nafs is the thing that will somersault us and throw us off the pedestal of hidayat. Shaitan don't have the power to force us to do anything. He's restricted. He can just put suggestions and waswas into us. It is the nafs that responds either positively or negatively. If effort is made on the nafs, then that nafs won't respond to the instigations of shaitan. But if effort is not made on the nafs, then that nafs will be easily influenced. Becomes the bait. So we have to train it. And once you train the nafs, then the nafs become subservient and it becomes the natural nature, the second habit or second nature of it to be obedient. A simple example for us to understand this, like for example a dog, you have general dogs, right? Then you have the special dogs that are go through a special training course. They go special training. And they are trained in order to be able to sniff any illegal drugs that are being carried across the border, whatever it is, or from one country to another country. So after the training period of that dog, the sense of smell of that dog that has been trained is far more sensitive than a normal dog's sense of smelling. A normal dog to smell won't be able to pick up those things. But that dog that went through training, see how quickly it picks up all the illegal things. Because it went through a training course. Exactly in the same way, when we train our nafs and we start making islah of our nafs, reformation of our nafs, when it goes through a training procedure, Allah Ta'ala enables that nafs to become so sensitive that it can perceive the smell of guna, the evil smell of guna, and it can perceive the beauty and the beautiful scent of good deeds. It can perceive the beautiful fragrant smell of good deeds. Because it went through a training process. And this is the most important thing. That is why, what is islah? It's to train this nafs. Because the nafs always like to rebel. And if we don't train this nafs, and we feel that we are complacent, if we become complacent, we feel we are alright, that's the biggest deception. Until the end, we can never be alright. We don't know when this nafs will take us off course. It is so cunning, and it's so shrewd, before we know it, we can be thrown. How many pious people of the past, who lived a life of piety, and later on, how does nafs took the better of them and toppled them over? And what? This nafs likes recognition. This nafs likes importance. The nafs likes to be given respect, izzat, etc. It doesn't like to be rectified. It doesn't like to be corrected. It doesn't like to be humiliated. It doesn't like all these things. Whereas on the other hand, when a person trains this nafs, then he realizes, I am nothing. I am nothing. One person used to come to Maulana Umar Sapalampur Rahmatullah Alayhi and used to stand as used to frequent his majlis, his bayans, etc. And he was very fond of Maulana Umar Sapalampur Rahmatullah Alayhi. So every time he used to tell Maulana Umar Sapalampur Rahmatullah Alayhi, I am nothing, mein kuch nahi, khas mere liye dua karna, you know. I am nothing, please make dua for me, etc. So sometimes it's very easy verbally to say I am nothing. And to say, I'm weak. And to portray a very humble image. Sometimes, in humility, there's pride as well. A person, a lot of times, feels good when people say he's so humble. That is pride himself. They say humility is such a quality, that the moment you claim it, you lost it. It's such a quality, that the moment you claim you got it, you lost it. So this person used to come regularly and say, Hazrat, very in a humble way, I'm nothing. So one day, Maulana Musa Palimpur Rahmatullah Ali looked at him and said, Buffalo, come here, you know, Urdu. He said, Buffalo, come here. But he had a lot of love for Maulana Musa Palimpur Rahmatullah Ali. So he just looked down and from his facial expression, Maulana Musa Palimpur realized, he didn't take it very well, that statement. After the program and that, he came to greet Maulana Musa Palimpur Rahmatullah Ali. Then Maulana Musa Palimpur said, I seen you, your expression changed a little bit when I said, Buffalo. See, that is to tell you the truth, I didn't like you addressing me like that, you know. So Maulana Musa Palimpur said, Acha, every time you say you nothing, I make you something big like a buffalo and you took offense to it. So the sincerity. It's very easy to say, I'm weak, I'm humble, I'm nothing, please make dua for me. But when we got those under our authority, those that are married and they go at home, then it's a different story. Then that whole humility disappears. Huh? So the nafs likes all this. And inshallah, once we train this nafs, once we make effort on this nafs, and how will we make it when we come to environments like these? When we go, sometimes when you go in Jamaat also in the path of Allah, your nafs get grinded. Once in driving, person was a wealthy person, and he started the effort much later than one of his workers. So he went in driving and they made out the Jamaat. And it happened, it planned so, that the Amir was the person, because he had more experience and spent a lot of time in the path of Allah, he was made Amir, the worker was made Amir of the boss. Now imagine going in the first, people were worried, they told people were making out the Jamaat, you think it would be munasib, it would be suitable for the boss to go. He said, inshallah, he came for his Islah, and that's why we go to the path of Allah, the first thing is for our own benefit. So they said, say Bismillah, inshallah, it might work, it will be beneficial for him. And they sent him in the path of Allah. What the? Now imagine that boss in his office, instructing, giving all instructions to all the workers. And now that same boss, in the path of Allah, needs to go and fulfill a need of going to relieve himself. And he must come, lower himself to his worker and ask him, ijazat, I need to go to the bathroom. How your Islam is? How your nafs get grinded? So in these type of moments, it makes us realize who we are. So this nafs has to be grounded. And when the nafs reach that stage, that's why ulama say, there are three stages of the nafs, which you get nafs al-ammara, then nafs al-lawwama, and nafs al-mutmainna. And we have to endeavor to move. So now when we have, mashallah, attended so many bayans, and alhamdulillah, it is time to introspect. They always say, you first inspect. Alright? The bayan, what was the theme, what was the message across, what was being told to us. Then the second thing, then you introspect. Am I guilty of these things? Like now, alhamdulillah, we mentioned that four enemies. Each one can individually introspect and see, which category I fall in, where do I falter? And then person reflects that I need to make positive changes in my life. I have to make positive changes in my life. And then the person reacts. That he starts now working towards those positive changes. Because we don't understand. You see, in the past, when we were young, in our minds, there was always this concept and definition that tazkiyah and to become a, if a person goes to the, for his islah, to a sheikh, etc., he goes there because he wants to become a buzruk. It's only for exclusive for the pious, want to become very pious, and one person wants to become a buzruk, you know. And that was our understanding initially. And then the thought came, because we thought of the, in that line, we said, okay, it's very meritorious to get your islah done. But it's optional. This was our understanding initially. It's optional. If you do it, it's good. If you don't do it, there's no harm. And alhamdulillah, Allah reward our akabirin, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, that they have conscientized us that this is not a optional thing. The nafs is very cunning. Is more shrewd and cunning than a fox. Don't take it for granted. Because it is the outcome is very disastrous. Can one imagine a person suffers from this quality of jealousy, for example? We're just talking of different qualities that emanate from the nafs. So say if a person suffers from jealousy, and I may mention this, one great alim mentioned, he said the test for the youth is women. The test for the women is wealth. And the test for those who do the effort of deen or are students of deen is hasad, is jealousy. Very easily it can creep into a person's life. Now can one imagine that if a person suffers from this malady of jealousy, for example, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned something to this effect, that jealousy destroys good deeds just as how fire destroys dry wood. Jealousy destroys good deeds just as how fire destroys dry wood. Now, can one imagine a person is toiling and a person is going through so much sacrifice in order to accumulate good deeds? And by him not realizing the need to train this nafs, then how much he will lose? They always have a saying, you spoil what you toil. You toil so hard, but be neglectful of the hidden spiritual ailments and diseases, we destroy what we have accrued. Same thing with pride. A person who suffers from this pride, say a mustard seed. Jannah, we're still too far talking about it. You won't be able to perceive the fragrance of Jannah. And ulama say 500 years before even coming to Jannah, you already will get the fragrance, you'll perceive the scent of and the fragrance of Jannah. So how serious is this? That how much the need? So this was our perception that it is now, okay, alhamdulillah, it's optional. A person will benefit, mashallah, and he'll be rewarded, etc. But there's no harm. Now, alhamdulillah, our ulama have conscientized us, has made us realize it is extremely important. We can't afford to go into the akhirat with these baggages, with these spiritual ailments. It will prove very, very serious in the akhirat. And slowly, slowly, when we go and speak to our senior ulama and our mashayikh and narrate to them, this is my weakness, I have this weakness, I have this problem, this is my spiritual aim. I always think I'm better than others. I always think low of people. I'm suffering from this ujub, from this pride, from this arrogance. How do I cure myself? Like how a person for physical ailments, how desperate he becomes. If he, Allah forbid, if a person goes for a test, and he finds a little blood in his urine, all his family members say, no, you can't leave it, it's something serious. Go check it out. And then if the, Allah forbid, if the hospital and then if the doctor says, you know what, it seems quite serious, you will have to be admitted into hospital. Those same family members that love him and that, out of love will insist, you get it sorted out quickly, don't delay. It can worsen and it can prove very disastrous later on. Go and get yourself admitted. They will even help get sorted out. Sort it out, because something can prove fatal later on. More serious than our physical ailments is these spiritual ailments. If we don't keep track on it, and we don't make an effort to rectify it, can one imagine? Look at Abu Jahl. This comes to mind, the incident of Abu Jahl. That ulama say that his pride was even worse than that of Fir'aun. Fir'aun during Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his pride was even worse than Fir'aun. Because Fir'aun, after he was being put into the sea, and then everything opened up to him, that time he softened up. And he said, now I believe in the Rabb of Musa and Aaron. And it was too late. Al-An, Allah Ta'ala said, Al-An now. But Abu Jahl, when Abdullah bin Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu was there, now finally, and he understood, Abu Jahl understood, that now I'm going to be beheaded. And he asked, who are you? And he was told, it was him, Abdullah bin Mas'ud. He said, alas, how sad that my ending will be at an ordinary sahaba. If you're someone of a leader, someone, a big warrior, at least I would feel the good that my ending is ending at the hand of a good warrior. Get the pride and arrogance. And then he requested, he said that, okay, when you behead all the people who are killed, but behead me in such a way that my, behead me closer to my shoulder. So when all the heads are put together, at least my head stands up above others. Look at the level of pride. That's why ulama say, sometimes the intoxication of pride is worse than the intoxication of the love of dunya and wealth. Because there are some sober periods or sometimes where a person still, but intoxication of pride and arrogance and importance and love for fame and that engine goes on an increase, he wants. He wants to be kiryadid important. This is image from this nafs. So this nafs has to, we have to remind ourselves continuously. And Allah, so easy to purify and rectify. When people make salam to us and look up to us, say, I know my reality. I know my condition. Ya Allah, I know my condition. Ya Allah, do not expose. Allah yustatarul uyub. You have concealed my weakness. Ya Allah, if my weakness was revealed, even my close family members wouldn't tolerate me to be in that house. And remind ourselves of our past. And say, Ya Allah, I know my condition. Let alone ibadat. One Maulana Shabir Saluji sir from Madrasa Zakaria, he say, our condition has gone so bad that the way we make tawbah, we must make tawbah for the way we make tawbah. And he say, if we have to categorize the caliber of our ibadat, possibility it will be also regarded as sins. So where can pride ever enter us? So this nafs, if you look at the word nafs, N-A-F-S, just to make us remember, two things we must remember. One is name and fame sake. Nafs stands for name and fame sake. Or never allow for sacrifice. It doesn't allow, can't it? So thus we should always be conscious and cognizant of it. Be wary of it and watch it. Umar radhiallahu anhu, how they were kept check of their nafs. What a personality. We hear from ulama ikram, and sometimes the thought just comes to their mind that things are happening, Islam is spreading. One day he went to go make a khutbah and he just gave a story of how when during his times when he used to look after the sheep and being a shepherd, he called the people in to make an announcement, and he narrated this, that I couldn't even be responsible enough to look after sheep. That every time in my eyes to graze the sheep of my auntie, and sometimes one, two sheep used to get lost. People, sahabas were surprised. Umar Allah, what is the reason you mentioned this? And the mafum of it, they said, Umar Allah said, my nurse was now playing tricks with me, so to say in our words. That's how they kept check of their nurse. So it's very imperative. This is the reason why we come here. And we, mashallah, many people are ulama, mashallah, students of deen. Remember, this quality of humility is extremely important. مَنْ تَوَضَى لِلَّهِ أَفَوُّ اللَّهِ. And the ulama ikram explains so beautifully. They say a tea kettle, what they have got tea in it, until it doesn't allow itself to bend. If you see a tea kettle, until it doesn't allow itself to bend, it will never be able to pour out its contents. It will never be able to pour out its contents. For those whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with the knowledge of deen, if you want that knowledge to spread in the ummah and to benefit the ummah, you got to bend. Then the contents what Allah has blessed you with will inshallah pass out for others. And the other example the ulama give, they say when a person, you find a tree that is loaded with fruit, you will always find those branches bend down. So the salient quality of a person of ilm, you will always find him humble. Because he got the marifat of Allah. And when a person got the marifat of Allah, he understands who Allah is, the greatness of Allah is in front of him, and proportionately he realizes his insignificance, how insignificant he is compared to the greatness of Allah. So that tree that is loaded with fruits, those are the trees that you find the branches are always bent, and that is a sign of humility. And those trees that are bare, you find their branches high in the sky speaking, but they are empty. And the last example is this. They say when a person is climbing a mountain, how you find his posture? You always find his posture bending, and he's climbing. Just to get grip. When he's climbing, what's happening? His posture is bending. That is a posture of humility. But his altitude is rising, he's going up. And when a person coming down the mountain, in order to get some stability, he's always upright. Coming down the mountain is upright. And when you're upright, it's a posture of pride. But in reality, it's coming down. So in the same way, when a person humbles himself, then in the eyes of Allah, he's raising. And when he is proud and arrogant, he is going lower in the eyes of Allah. So this whole Islah is for this. To make us realize it is my first need. I need to rectify myself. Many people can praise me, many people can look up to me, many people get the fadl of Allah that you have hid our faults and you have not taken me to task. Once Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi, this Mawlana Ihsan, he's in Raiwin, he mentioned this incident. He says that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi used to come to Karachi in Makki Masjid, which was the Merkaz. And when the news was to go around that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi is coming there, many, many people, ulama, Shaykhul Hadith, muftis used to come just to make musafaha with Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi. And rich people and wealthy people, they used to wait. And then certain time used to be allocated, and then a line used to be made. And then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi used to sit, and they used to all wait patiently in the line, just to get the opportunity to make musafaha with Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi. So like that, this was like normal, the tarteeb, when Hazrat Shaykh used to come to Makki Masjid. So one day after all of them wait musafaha, then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi was walking with Mawlana Ihsan Sahab to the room. And then Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi told Mawlana Ihsan Sahab that Mawlana in Urdu is telling him that, you know, when they are greeting me, what am I reading? So Mawlana Ihsan said, I don't know what you're reading. Then he said, everyone that is making musafaha with me, I'm reading this dua and I'm making this dua. Alhamdulillah, alladhi adhara alayhi al-jameer wa satara alayhi al-habib, al-kabir. That, oh Allah, alhamdulillah, alladhi adhara alayhi al-jameer. All praise is for Allah. Look where the focus is. All praise is for Allah who has beautified and made apparent my beauty. And manifest the good in me. And all praise is Allah who have hidden my weaknesses and shortfalls. In that way, they used to imagine. In that way, they used to prevent and protect themselves from any pride coming into their heart, because they used to only focus and their vision was only on Allah. Ya Allah, it is through you, your kindness, O Allah, that you have given me this opportunity. So this is the lesson that we have to learn. Quickly to recap, that the first, we must remember these four enemies. The four enemies, remember, they are our enemies. Like when a person tell you there's an enemy, or some, like I remember one place in our area, one person just middle of the night happened to jump over the yard, and he was trying to look for some things to take, and people came aware of it. The next day already, they started taking their precautions, they started putting now fencing, this, that, and that, because they know this is a problem, it's an easy target. So once we know who our enemy is, now the thing to react, how am I going to protect myself? How am I going to protect myself from these enemies? From those things that are going to distract me, take me away from Allah's remembrance? How much diva? Because when we are away from Allah's remembrance, it comes in a hadith, something to this effect, that shaitan waits like a mosquito, the left side of a person's heart. And the moment it finds itself in ghaflat, it finds itself not conscious of Allah and not remembering Allah, then it starts putting its poison, starts injecting its poison. But the moment that person is in the remembrance of Allah and conscious of Allah, that serves like a wall, like a shield, and prevents shaitan from making any evil or instigating any evil thoughts. So like that, we mention quickly, that the dunya, and then shaitan, and then mahol, the environment, and lastly is our nafs. Inshallah, I think it was Ali, if I'm not mistaken, Ali Radhanu mentioned that Jannah is just one step away. Put your one step on your nafs, the next step you in Jannah, inshallah. It is as easy as that. May Allah Ta'ala make us among those who, inshallah, when we leave from here, we leave as those people who have made positive intentions. Mawlana Masla Rahmatullah often used to say, that when a person is in a majma' like this, and he makes the niyat, Ya Allah, I want to change. I want to become an obedient slave of you. I want to become such a person who will please you. And he makes such a, I want to reform myself. See, already Allah Ta'ala, before he even gets up from such a gathering, Allah Ta'ala already placed the crown of wilayat on his head. Imagine, look at the response of Allah. Allah is independent. Just by your intention, already the crown of wilayat. And now our Shaykh mentioned, Well, Abdul Hamid Sahib said, now when the crown is put on your head, don't shake your head and drop it off. Now look after it, keep it on your head. So may Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those fortunate ones who will be always worry about our relationship with Allah, our connection with Allah, and that is the essence of our existence. Every time worry, Ya Allah, what is your opinion about me? What is your decision regarding me? Oh Allah, when I leave the world, oh Allah, what your opinion about me will matter in the akhirat. All people's praises, all people's opinion will mean nothing. It is what Allah's decision that Allah has taken regarding us that will have either a positive outcome in the akhirat or a negative income and outcome in akhirat. May Allah give us the tawfiq to practice on whatever has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.